We celebrate today what is typically called Meat Fair Sunday. It is also called Last Judgment Sunday because we hear in the Gospel about a Last Judgment. Both, of course, are related. First, about the Gospel story. When we listen in the biblical narrative, we hear about sheep and goats. This is an agrarian culture. In the Middle East, even today, you find as you go outside of the cities, you see men herding their sheep and their goats. I remember in many of my trips to the Holy Land, driving on the road that goes from Jerusalem down to Jericho. This is the context in which Jesus tells that story about the Good Samaritan and the man who fell among robbers. It's a lonely place. There's nothing out there. You have Jerusalem, and then you have about a 3-4 hour walk down the hill to the Jordan to where is Jericho. Nothing in between but dry, barren hills. But what I noticed often as we drove that road is Bedouin shepherds with their sheep. Now the sheep stay with their shepherd. We would often see a Bedouin boy out there with his little donkey and 10 or 20 sheep near him trying to get a little shade and eating the grass. But none of the sheep would ever wander away. Sheep are a herding animal by nature. Come in, there's plenty of room in here. There's plenty of empty seats here. Sheep are a herding animal by nature. They like to stay together. Any herding animals, when they see movement, they move toward it. This is the instinct that keeps them together. I remember when I was doing my bachelor's degree at Cal Poly down in San Luis Obispo, the teacher told me to go out and get the sheep out of the field. There were 100 of them. How am I going to do that? He said, very easy. Look, you walk out into the middle of the sheep, they're going to make a bunch of noise, and they're going to kind of back away from you. But they just want grass, so they're going to keep eating grass. And then they're going to keep an eye on you, but they're going to keep an eye on the grass. And what's going to happen is you approach the sheep, they're going to kind of back away from you and keeping an eye on you, and you're going to find yourself in a big semicircle of sheep. Then you calmly turn around and come back in the barn. And a few sheep will start to follow you because they see you moving, and then the other ones will follow them, and before you know it, it's like the lemmings. Before you know it, they're all going to become coming after you, and they'll come into the barn. And he said, and a few of you other students, you go out on the edges, and after they all start moving, there's a few stragglers sometimes that aren't paying attention, they're too interested in the clover, and you kind of get near them, and then they'll run toward the other sheep. So I did this, and 100 sheep followed me right into the barn. I almost had to get out of the way. They almost was a stampede. They were flying in there, running. Sheep like to stay together. As soon as they saw some moving, others followed them. As soon as the flock was, then all the sheep were running after them. They like to stay together and they like to follow. Very easy to herd sheep. Those Bedouin boys down there on the road to Jericho have it easy. In that regard, at least. Sitting in the shade, the sheep stay right there. Goats are another story. Goats are not herding animals by nature. Goats are solitary animals. They tend to stay alone. In the wild, you might see a mother goat with its kid. Or during the breeding season, you might see a buck with a few others, a few does. But typically, they're solitary animals, similar to the deer you see in California. They tend to stay away from each other. Goats like to go around browsing on this and browsing on that, and they really don't care what other goats are around. If they're near or far, it doesn't matter to them. So it's very difficult to keep goats in a herd. I remember when I was in Jericho on one of those trips, watching a little boy of Jericho trying to herd some goats. I felt sorry for the poor boy because he didn't have sheep. He had to herd these goats from behind. You can walk up to a herd of goats and turn around and walk away, and they'll just watch you walk away. They have no interest in following you because they don't follow movement in front of them. The goats will just stay eating, very happy that you're leaving. So you herd goats not from the front, but from behind. It's herding. Goats is like herding cats. Or, if you're like me and have many children, like herding seven children. You herd them from behind. And as you get a little close and push them along, then the goats will shoot off this way and shoot off that way. Just like imagine herding cats. And the goats go one way because a goat wants some bush over here, and another goat sees a bush over here. And then the little boy from Jericho was screaming at the goats. He was picking up gravel and dirt off the ground and throwing it at the goats, screaming and hollering, and he had a big stick. He was whacking on the ground to scare the goats. And they would go this way, and he would whack over here and throw rocks, and then one straggler would run back, and he'd go over here and throw some rocks and whack and scream, and then that goat would run back. The poor kid, it took him, I think, a half an hour to get him just around this little hill. So the little boy of Jericho had a purpose. He wanted to take those goats from one spot to the other, and I watched him do it. And in between, as he was trying to get them there, the goats kept getting distracted with a little bush or a little weed. But that boy knew that there was better pasture right around the hill. The goats didn't care. The goats didn't know. Totally unaware that the shepherd had their best interest in mind. And he could see and knew something they didn't. And they wouldn't listen. They didn't care. They went about their business. And so this is why sheep and goats often in the Bible are shown to be the symbols of two kinds of humanity. Those who follow the shepherd, those who follow the Lord, who knows where he is going and where he wants us to go, and he knows what is good for us and the good pasture ahead. And the sheep, or those who follow him, go along following him, not knowing necessarily where he's going, but knowing that the shepherd knows where he's going. Those we heard in the gospel today were those on his right. Those on his right. The right and the left also get sometimes a bad... The left gets a bad name in the Bible. In that region, in that ancient time, they didn't eat at tables like we do. They laid down in a semicircle on a cloth, and they leaned on their left arm and ate with their right. And so to be at the right of somebody was to be at the ideal location because they could talk to you. So to be at the master's right side was to be a place of honor. So these are said to be on his right, but the goats were put on the left. The goats were put on the left. And then we hear the problem. It's not that they have done something wrong. It's that they have not done anything right. How many times do we think of our self-righteousness as, I'm not like other men. I don't steal, I don't murder, I don't commit adultery, I don't do this, I don't do that. I'm not such a bad guy. Remember the Pharisee and the publican that we read just 2 weeks ago. I thank God that I'm not like others who do those things. Thank God I don't commit adultery, I don't steal, I don't murder, I don't... I'm not so bad. Notice the problem with the goats. It wasn't that they had done something evil. That would be bad in itself. It wasn't that they had done something evil. It was that they had not done anything good. There's an ancient saying, we don't know who started it. The only need for evil to succeed in the world is for good men to do nothing. And here we hear about two kinds of people in the story. Those who saw their brothers in need. We're not talking about going off on a long missionary trip here. We're not talking about solving world hunger. We're not talking about solving the homeless crisis in San Jose. We heard about them not helping their brother that was right next to them. Those in their immediate world, their neighbor, their family member, their friend. And what was the problem? They wouldn't lift a finger. But those on the right, the sheep who followed the Lord, had done like the Lord. They had walked in His way. And this is what we are called to by virtue of our baptismal grace. St. Paul says we have been baptized into Christ. He says in his letter to the Galatians, we have put on Christ like a garment. And so if we are in Christ, as St. Paul says, then we are to walk in His ways, like sheep follow the path of the shepherd. And what did our shepherd do? He helped those who were in need around Him. He didn't go off and solve world hunger. He didn't go and heal every leper in the world. He didn't go and preach to every individual in the big blue ball. No, but to those who were around Him, that northern shore of Galilee, that little area, Capernaum, that little area, He healed, He taught, He preached. And He gave His sheep an example of how we are to walk in His path, to walk in the path of the shepherd. And so I think it is appropriate then today that we hear this gospel as we also approach the Great Fast. The Great Fast is a time when we think about giving things up. Right? I'm going to give up meat. I'm going to give up eggs. I'm going to give up dairy. I'm going to give up... what do I have left?
Chocolate.
If it's dairy free, you can have it. So, in the Eastern Fast, which was also kept in the West up until about a century ago, this Sunday is called Meat Fair Sunday because from this Sunday forward, we stop eating meat. I said, I can't do that. It's okay. God doesn't care whether you fast or not. Fasting is for you, not for God. Fasting doesn't change God. You can offer all the sacrifices, all the prayers you want. It doesn't change God. God's immutable. It changes you. We've talked about fasting before. Fasting is a regular exercise of your willpower. An opportunity to exercise your willpower. Tomorrow morning when you open the refrigerator and you see some bacon that you forgot. And then you look and there's an apple. I'll just have the apple. Let me close the fridge. At lunchtime, you open the fridge or you're at work. And your coworkers are ordering double bacon cheeseburger, please. Yes, extra bacon. Next. Yes, I'll have just the house salad. What do you want with your salad, sir? Just the salad. Do you want anything on it? Some bacon, maybe? No. What kind of dressing would you like? Oh, just a vinaigrette. What you've just done is exercised your willpower. And fasting is a regular daily opportunity for us to exercise our willpower, to make a choice between one thing and another. Now, God doesn't care if you eat cheeseburgers. God doesn't care if you eat bacon. Your cardiologist might have an issue with it, but He doesn't care. He cares for you. He's a loving Father that cares for you and your welfare. And Jesus said, when the bridegroom is taken away, then they will fast. And here we are. We need to fast. Just like we need to exercise our bodies if we want to stay healthy. We need to exercise our willpower so that when we are tempted by a real evil, not a cheeseburger, but when we are looking at two things, when we're on the internet and something pops up, We have the willpower then to look away and close that window. But if we haven't strengthened our willpower, we will be tempted and possibly fall into sin. If we have been strengthening our willpower between two things, this is not for me right now, this is for me. Then when we're driving down the street and we see some billboard or someone inappropriately dressed or who knows what temptation you might face at work or in the family, in the neighborhood, we have the strength to say, that is not for me. That is not good for me. And we turn toward the good and resist the evil. We can only do this if we're fasting. And this is why we fast. It doesn't change God. It changes us. So don't look at the fast, the giving up of meat today, or next Sunday, the giving up of dairy. Don't look at this as an opportunity or a moment of loss, but an opportunity for great gain for the kingdom of God, to be able to follow our shepherd where he goes and not be like a goat who goes after this and after that and has to be herded from behind by our shepherd, screaming and yelling and whacking sticks and throwing rocks until we finally move along and we get distracted by this and by that. No, we want to be like sheep who calmly and peacefully follow our shepherd and walk in his ways. And the fasting will help us with that. But not only fasting, and we will talk about these things more as we enter into the great fast, but prayer and almsgiving. In prayer, we establish a relationship, or we strengthen a relationship. We strengthen a relationship. If I were to tell you that Layla and Isis, they don't talk. Nope. They haven't talked for a month. They called me and told me, no talking. What would you say? Well, what's wrong? A mother and a daughter haven't talked in a month. There must be something wrong with the relationship. Don't worry, their relationship is just fine. But can you imagine? Can you imagine if I told you Ramon and Linda? No, they haven't talked for a month. They live in the same house, husband and wife. They don't talk.
They'd be happy.
Then what would we think of their poor relationship? Especially poor Linda. What would we think, huh, Dimitri? So, what would we think of that relationship? And so it is with our Heavenly Father. All of us have siblings, huh? How many siblings? You have 2, 3, 1, 5 siblings?
13.
Okay? 13? 13 siblings. Do you talk to all your siblings the same amount of time?
I try to, but no.
No. Yeah, you try. I have 4 siblings. There's 5 of us. I don't talk to all of them as much as I should.
I guess I only really talk to 2.
There you go. And when you talk to them, you call them up on the phone. You have a relationship there, right? And it's easy to call them up and say hi. Some of you have a brother or sister that you call every day. And some of you have a brother or sister, maybe a few, that you haven't talked to in months or maybe years. Right? What's happened to that relationship? The relationship has dwindled, has become weak. And this is what we do when we don't talk to God. Prayer is talking to God. God talks to us all day long. We just don't hear Him.
All day long.
That's right. But do we talk to Him? It's not that hard. How do we talk to God? I've told you this before. There are 3 ways in which we should pray. We should always begin by saying thank you to God for what He's given us. I praise you, O Lord, for your goodness, what you've given me. Look around. Here we are sitting in Los Gatos, one of the wealthiest, most beautiful places on the face of the earth. You're not suffering. We have lots to be thankful for. And once we thank God for who He is and what He's done, then we need to think about who we are. Who am I and what have I done in response to my Heavenly Father? Have I lived up to My father lived up to the name of a child of God. And so, second is what we do is we confess our sin. We acknowledge who God is, and then we acknowledge who we are, sinners. And once we've done that, then we should ask for what we think we need, or those around us need. And if we go in that order, then what we ask for will typically be very different from what we would ask for if we did it in the opposite order. In this order, typically you might think about life a little more contemplatively. You might say, oh Lord, help me to be a better person. Help those around me to live. Help those who are in need. Oh Lord, have mercy. But no, this is not how we normally pray, right? We do it the other way, right? Oh God, I need a Maserati. I know I don't deserve it because I'm a wicked sinner, but you are a good God, right? And I know you'll give me what I need. Look at the difference. And so we need to pray regularly and in the right way to build that relationship with our Heavenly Father. And to the degree that you don't talk to God is the degree that your relationship becomes strained. You don't hear His voice. You don't hear His voice in your heart on a daily basis. Some people say, I feel God is so distant. Do you ever pray? Do you pray regularly? It's just like that sibling that you talk to daily and those that you don't. And then third, almsgiving. These are the three things we work on during the great fasts. Almsgiving is what we heard about basically today in the homily, or in the gospel. Helping those out who are in need around us. How much wealth do we have shoved in our closets, in our garage, storage units sometimes, and then more storage units? Stuff we'll never use. Shoes you haven't worn since you were in college. Dresses you will never fit into. Pants you haven't worn since you got married. You're never going to fit into them. Give them away. There are people who need those shoes, that jacket, that dress. There are people that need that chest of drawers that's covered in dust in your garage, filled with junk, to put their clothes in. There are people that need these things. Why do we hang on to it? It's irrational. God gives us all we need and a great abundance beyond that. And the great abundance beyond that is what we're supposed to be using to share with people around us. So He gives us what we need plus a great abundance beyond that to help and share with those around us who are in need, who haven't maybe so properly used what they have. But what do we do with that abundance? We store it up. We build bigger barns and bigger barns. And as we heard in the gospel today, someday we will stand in judgment. And we'll have to answer for these things. What have I done to help my neighbor? What have I done to help my friend? What have I done to help my community in the church? What have I done to help a family member, a co-worker who is in need? And it's not just simply material. How many times do you find a co-worker or someone in the neighborhood who just needs someone to talk to? Just needs you to give them some of your time. It may be that they need some of your treasure. But often people around here in Los Gatos, they just want your time. To give them a phone call, to go and knock on the door, an elderly woman in your neighborhood, a relative, a friend, in the church, anywhere. Can we give of our treasure? Yes. Can we give of our time? And can we give of our talent? Many of us have great skills, talents the Lord has given us to share with those around us. What do we do with them? Do we use them just to make more and more and more and more money? To get more and more and more power? Or do we use those talents to sustain ourselves? But then the abundance from that talent to help those around us. And so I encourage you today to remember this gospel. Especially right now during Great Lent, but for the rest of your life, however long that might be. Because someday we will stand before the Lord. And we're going to be either on His left or on His right. He's given us the grace. He's given us everything we need. And we have a choice. Will we choose His way? Or will we choose to be like a goat and wander off and chase all sorts of things of this world? Let us choose to be like sheep and follow our good shepherd and glorify Jesus Christ with His eternal Father as all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever and into ages of ages. Amen.